Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because truth matters. To get on today's program, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to start the broadcast today, before we go to your questions when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, by talking about day 14 in which I answer a question, can Santa Claus be saved? Day 14 of the Heart of Christmas in our journey to day 25th, December 25th, when we celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as I pointed out, in day 14, can Santa Claus be saved? The fact of the matter is that far from being a dangerous fairy tale, Santa Claus is, in fact, an anglicized form of the Dutch name Sinterklaas, which in turn is a reference to St. Nicholas, a Christian bishop from the 4th century. Well, according to tradition, St. Nick not only gave gifts to needy children, but he also valiantly supported the doctrine of the Trinity at the Council of Nicaea in AD 325. In some, then, Christians may look back to the tradition of St. Nick, who lavished gifts on the needy and valiantly supported the doctrine of the Trinity as a legendary hero of the faith. Of course, the notion that Santa Claus lives at the North Pole in a toy factory, that he sees children at all times and knows whether they've been bad or good, that he travels in a sled pulled by flying reindeer, is clearly myth and should therefore be treated as such. So this December 25th, just 11 days away, as you celebrate the coming of Christ with a Christmas tree surrounded by presents, may the story of selflessness on the part of St. Nick remind you of the Savior who gave the greatest gift of all. Thus, rather than supplant the Savior with Santa, we can use St. Nick as a reminder to generously support God-ordained ministries so that the message of salvation can reach those who have not as yet received salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and on account of Christ alone. In fact, that is precisely what we do at the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We give answers, not to win arguments, but to win people to an eternity with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is why each December we ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. It is why this December your gift to the ongoing ministries of the Christian Research Institute are more significant than ever before. I've written a letter to many of those that support this ministry and talked about a miracle in which you, as a listener, are playing an important role. Last year, when I sat in this very seat with this very microphone, our ministry had a staggering $2.9 million operational debt. And as a result, we had to pull back from stations that literally reached hundreds of thousands of people because we simply could not afford the airtime. And many more hard choices loomed on the horizon. And of course, we were on our knees looking for the direction of God. And I still remember the words, trust me, words that I fervently believe are words that God put into my heart and spirit. At that time, paying off this staggering debt seemed impossible. And from a human perspective, it certainly was. But that is what made it so significant as I'm sitting here today, because we prayed hard, we spread the word about the need, and we trusted God to work, and He has worked. And now we are about to scale the top of the mountain. We haven't reached it yet. But you today, by making a gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, can help us scale the mountain. And what that will mean not only is that the staggering debt will have been repaid, but that we will be poised to reclaim stations reaching literally thousands of people with the gospel. That is what we do. That is why we do what we do. We're a discernment ministry that teaches people how to discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light, and more importantly, how to use their well-reasoned answers to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect. Why? Again, not to win an argument, but to win a person, so that we can use our well-reasoned answer as a springboard, an opportunity to reach people with the gospel. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what giving is all about. Christ gave the greatest gift of all. He gave Himself so that we might be redeemed. And when we give the gift of salvation to others. That's why I've said many times, you don't give to this ministry, you give through this ministry and touch the lives of people for time and for eternity. Joining me in studio today, Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal. We're going to be answering your questions when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. But Elliot has been involved on his knees in prayer that God would sustain this ministry so that we could continue to impact people with a ministry that is sorely needed, a ministry that is not going to do what we do to be prosperous or politically correct, but rather to reach people, to do what we do because truth matters.
Absolutely, Hank. I was just listening to you speaking about the whole giving aspect of it, and I just could see how Jesus came. God, first of all, the Father, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then Christ came and gave Himself so that we would be saved and could receive the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness and eternal life through faith in His name. And then in having received that, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit, who then made us alive in Christ and began the work of transforming us into His image, which is the great work that goes on once somebody receives the gift of salvation. They are now on the journey of sanctification, which is a journey of being conformed into the image of Christ. And what does that mean other than that we become gifts? We become instruments through which God continues to pour out His grace to the world. And we do this, as you said, through proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming this great salvation, and we do it furthermore through, once the people do receive salvation and they now are on the sanctification journey, we do it through discipling them. And this is where I think the contribution of CRI is so important, because we do live in a culture in which there are so many secular, pagan, unbiblical influences that oftentimes seem harmless on the surface, and there's a great lack in the church today, and that lack is discernment, so that people are oftentimes incorporating things that are coming through the secular culture into the church life, into the message of the gospel, and also being infected by that in terms of allowing doctrines that are not part of the faith that was once for all given to the saints. Okay, the great gift was once for all given to the saints, But it's being in many ways compromised through the secular age in which we live, infiltrating Christians' thinking and then their proclamation. But CRI, as long as I've been a part of it, Hank, has always been about Jude 3, which is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all given, once for all time given. The Greek word apox means literally once for all time. And so that's the unique thing about the gospel, is that it's complete. We are complete in Christ. Christ is completely proclaimed by Paul and the other apostles, and that we have preserved for us in the New Testament. And so it's a once-for-all giving. No matter how much knowledge gains in other areas in society, knowledge cannot gain in this area. It's all, I mean, theology can grow, understanding can grow, but the information is there once for all time. And CRI has always been about contending for the once for all given and not allowing anything to contaminate it. So this is where discernment comes in, and this is the what God has, you know, it says in Ephesians 4:11, God has given gifts to men. He's given apostles, he's given prophets, he's given teachers, he's given evangelists and pastors. Well, the teacher aspect of that is CRI. He's given people who have, you know, we are among the teachers that he's given, and he's given us an ability both to discern between, like you said, heat and light, wheat and chaff, between what is secular and not of the gospel and what is actually in the Word of God. I mean, it's just a gift, part of our spiritual gifting, and then to communicate that and to live it out. And so as we live that out over the radio, what we're doing is we're doing that thing that we're supposed to be doing. We are discipling. Not only are we proclaiming, and the gift of the once-for-all given gospel is coming through us, and we get testimonials of people who found Christ through listening to the Bible Answer Man and through reading the Christian Research Journal, but we're also, and I think this is a key thing, we're influencing people. In this age where so many compromised versions of Christianity are being promoted, people are getting this once-for-all emphasis, emphasis that we have on being faithful and true to the unvarnished, uncontaminated, eternal message, and being discerning about not just accepting new things that come down the pike that can compromise it. And so that's the thing. The contribution that I see CRI making is that we're reproducing ourselves, and there are people who are thinking as we think, who are in churches all across the land, and they are reproducing themselves, and we're preserving that gospel once for all given to the church, and a witness that is untarnished and uncompromised in this very compromised age in which we live.
And we are asking you to stand with us prayerfully and financially in that task. Right now, I want to mention before we go to our callers that for those of you who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, we are wanting to put into your hands the Christian Research Journal, the next six issues of our ways, not only saying thank you to you, but equipping you on an ongoing basis to be an ever more effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of reaching people for time and for eternity. So if you can join the monthly support team, give me a call at 888-7000-CRI or just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and let me know that you want to join the monthly support team. Your first check can be sent with that letter, and we will in turn respond by sending you the first edition of the Christian Research Journal, the first of six that we will pass along to you as our way of saying thank you. For those of you that want to make a one-time gift this month, do remember the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is something that will equip you to understand not only about the first advent of Jesus Christ, but the ongoing advent of Jesus Christ, and then our look forward to the second advent of Jesus Christ when he comes to put all things to right. when the dead in Christ will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, when this universe will be transformed, no longer groaning in travail, but being liberated from its bondage to decay, when we live with the resurrected Christ in a resurrected universe and forever explore the glory and greatness of the very one who saved us by his grace. Again, for those of you who can make a special gift, I'll send you the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. You can simply contact me again at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. But the best way is simply go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. Order online will rush the Heart of Christmas out to you. It'll be an enduring treasure in your family. If you want it personalized, let me know. I'll try to personalize it for you and rush it out to you. And then also remember, you can do your Christmas shopping even now on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized to a family member or a friend for your gift of $100 or more. All ways in which you can continue not only to give to this ministry, but to give to those who as yet are not equipped or do not know about Jesus Christ. We'll be right back with your questions.
Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics, the Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back. Since the beginning of the modern environmental movement, secular environmentalists have claimed that historic Christianity is largely responsible for today's environmental problems. The issue, however, is not what Christians think or how they behave. It's what the Bible teaches with regard to environmental stewardship. Should Christians be concerned about the environment? Dan Story answers this very question. The average American spends some 5 hours a day watching television. As a dominant cultural medium, television deserves serious attention from apologists who wish to demonstrate the difference between ideas promoted in popular culture and those within the Christian worldview. Robert Velarde demonstrates how to use this medium to reach our society and defend your faith. All of this and more can be found in the pages of the Christian Research Journal. To start your subscription, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Set sail into the beauty of Alaska on CRI's 2011 Alaskan Cruise. Join Hank Hanegraaff, Steve Camp, and Elliot Miller for the experience of a lifetime.
Hi, this is Elliot Miller, the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. Last year, I was able to join many listeners to the Bible Answer Man as we did a Caribbean cruise. The fellowship that we had, the prayer, the Bible study, the worship, it was truly a family experience. The opportunity to hear Hank Hanegraaff teaching on a daily basis and Steve Camp ministering both through teaching and song is something that you just can't get anywhere else. So I invite you to go to equip.org and read all about the cruise and join us this June.
To register, call Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The Christian Research Institute is a ministry dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and our website, equip.org. But to continue this vital mission, we depend on your faithful, prayerful support. If you see the life-changing impact this ministry is having, please join with us on a consistent monthly basis so that we can continue to equip believers with the tools to stand firm in their faith and reach around the world with the transforming power of the gospel. To partner with us on a monthly basis, call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, in studio with Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, as we answer your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. We'll be taking your questions for the rest of the hour. Let's go first to Kip. He's listening in Utica, Kansas. Hi, Kip.
Hello, Hank.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just minor and frog here, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure glad you took my call.
Well, you're welcome.
I'm way out here in the middle of nowhere, but I have a question. Jesus being God or the Son of God, and how important is that to... I'm just having a real struggle with it.
Well, this is not in any way supposed to communicate physical procreation. That is a mistake that the Muslims make. They think that when we say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we are assigning partners to God, which is the unforgivable sin of shirk. But that is not what is in view. This is not to say, in a physical sense, Jesus is the Son of God. It rather signifies that he shares the very nature of God the Father. So when we talk about God the Son, we are saying that by nature or by essence, Jesus Christ is very God. He is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So it is a moniker that establishes the divinity of Jesus Christ.
Okay, now, who spoke the universe into existence?
Well, Jesus Christ spoke and the universe leapt into existence. The reason I can say that with certainty is that Jesus Christ by nature is God. Therefore, if you read Colossians chapter 1, you see that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. He's not the creator of all other things, as the Jehovah's Witnesses would have you believe, but he is the creator of all things. That is stated over and over again in Colossians chapter 1 in order to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is in fact the creator of all things.
Yes, and also I would like to add into this conversation that in John chapter 5, Jesus specifically makes a statement about himself. He says, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." There's nothing that the Father does that the Son is not also doing, and that includes the creation of the world. That's why it speaks of both Father, Son, and Spirit being involved in the creation. And the Jews understood what that meant, so that there is no dichotomy between Son of God and God the Son. The Jew, because the word monogenes, the Greek word monogenes, which means the only one of its kind, the unique Son of God, is always appended in front, or often appended in front of Son of God for Jesus, not for us. We're sons of God by adoption, but Jesus is Son of God by nature. And it's the Jews so well understood it that they tried to stone him. And Jesus, John the Apostle says the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him in verse 18 of chapter 5 because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father. And then what does he say? Making himself equal with God. So John understood, this is not just what the Jews understood, they did understand it this way, but John himself understood that when Jesus called God his Father in the unique way that he did, monogenes, the only begotten Son of God, that he was making himself equal with God. You cannot be equal with God and not also be God. You have to have the attributes of God, which includes eternality, never having had a beginning, all power. All of the various attributes of God have, are required to be equal with God. So Jesus is clearly God.
I lay this out as one of the essentials of the historic Christian faith in Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. It's a little 4x6 flip chart. It's laminated. It will help you master the main and plain things in historic Christianity in minutes and then remember them for a lifetime. Of course, the essentials of the Christian faith is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. These are the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. If you do not have Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine, you may want to order today for your gift. We'll send it out to you. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org or simply talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. Back to the phone lines. Next up, Jonathan, listening on Bot Radio in Nebraska. Hi, Jonathan.
How are you today, Hank?
I am well, thank you.
I enjoy your show, and I had a question. I have an uncle that insists that the world is 6,000 to 7,000 years old, and I just have a hard time believing that. I have an extensive knowledge in geology, and I think the Earth is a lot older than that. I've heard that God had the Garden of Eden after the dinosaurs, and what is your opinion on that?
Well, I think the prologue to the question is really important. You've spent a lot of time studying what we would call the book of nature. God has the book of the Bible. He also has the book of nature. The Bible gives us special revelation. The book of nature gives us general revelation, as we see depicted by David in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands day after day. They pour forth speech night after night. They proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice cannot be heard. Their voice goes out to the ends of the earth. So we can say rightly that God's fingerprints are in the universe that he created. And therefore, we should learn to read the book of nature, because there are questions that are answered by the book of nature that the Bible is not designed to address. The Bible makes very clear that God spoke and the universe leapt into existence, which is to say that God is the creator of all things. But when we get to the very first chapter or the very first book of the Bible, we don't find a chronology of creation, but rather a hierarchy of creation, with man as the crowning jewel of God's creation. So I don't think that the Bible gives us the time frame. If you want the time frame, I think that you are best off doing what you have done, study the book of nature, become adept at reading it, because that's God's revelation of himself to us as well. Elliot?
Yes, I agree with you, Hank. You know, Dr. Walter Martin believed in an old earth, and I was influenced by him early on, so I've held that belief my whole Christian walk, and I've never seen a problem with it. In fact, I see a lot of support for it. Just for example, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, or verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay, so that is the sixth day of creation. Yet you go on to chapter 2, and it says that it tells a whole story of God placing Adam in the garden, telling him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then bringing to him every beast of the field, every bird of the sky. But for Adam, there is not a helper that is found suitable for him. And so God causes a sleep to fall upon him. This, to me, just really, it's hard for me to cram all that activity into one 24-hour day. In other words, Adam is created out of the dust of the earth on the sixth day. And we're talking a 24-hour day. Then in that day, God brings him into the garden. He becomes acclimated and oriented to this environment that he's just suddenly appeared as a new entity in. Then all the animals are brought to him. He has time to discover that they are not a suitable helper for him. And then God causes him to go to sleep and creates Eve out of him. This is all happening in a 24-hour day. I don't think that's what the writer is intending to communicate. I see here a passage of time, and I see that that the day is an aid. You know, the morning and evening is more of a poetic usage of language. And I just don't think that Genesis is attempting to pinpoint all of this within a literalistic scientific interpretation. But I do see special creation. I do not see any kind of room in here. You know, the key point is that God specially created all of the animals of the earth, including human beings. We're not descended from lower life forms or anything like that.
That help, Jonathan?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think the Bible gives a chronology for the age of the earth, and for somebody to say that the earth is 60,000 years old is just absurd to me. And I wanted to get your opinion, and it was very helpful. And I am a believer in that God created everything, and I absolutely believe that. But I do not think the earth is 6,000 to 7,000 years old.
And I think that one of the things that we have to do with great grace within the Christian community is recognize that there are young earth creationists who have studied this matter and have good answers to questions that they are asked. There are progressive creationists that are in a debate and say, no, we disagree with you. But I don't think we should make this an acid test for orthodoxy. I think where we cross the line is when we take the notion of an old earth and then add to that notion the notion that God did not create every kind to reproduce after its own kind, but one kind evolved into another kind. The idea of theistic evolution, I think, is crossing the line, but yes. I don't think progressive creationism is.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to say that if you don't hold to a young earth, you've abandoned the faith, that somehow or other you have not passed muster in the acid test for orthodoxy, and I think that is not true. This is an issue we can debate vigorously without dividing over.
People want to say that, it's a slippery slope. Once you have an old earth, you're going to become
theistic evolution.
Well, this has been a very long slide for me because I've held this belief now for about 38 years. You know, I'm still just as adamantly, a believer in special creation as ever. I think that's where the line is.
And I have written a book on this subject. It's called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. And it points out that the real battle today is not the timing, but the real battle is against philosophical naturalism, which supposes that God created not, but rather that nothing created everything. So they dispense with the notion of a God creating everything, and they say instead that nothing produced everything, which is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. It shows that the fossil record says no, ape men, fiction, fantasies, and frauds abound. Chance does not have a chance. You can't have design without a designer, and the empirical laws of science militate against the theory of evolution. We'll be right back with more.
In 1993, Hank Hanegraaff released his award-winning, now classic book, Christianity in Crisis, carefully documenting the wildly distorted understanding of faith that millions of Christians embrace. In the 21st century, Christianity remains in crisis while the faith movement is expanding rapidly around the globe. And that is why Hank Hanegraaff has written an updated and expanded edition of this classic titled Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To say thank you for your faithfulness in partnering with the Christian Research Institute through your special gift of $100 or more, we'll send you a limited leather edition of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, personalized by Hank Hanegraaff. to join with the Christian Research Institute in changing lives around the world and request your copy of Christianity in Crisis, go online to equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Stay tuned. There's more of the Bible Answer Man coming up. Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. Now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at equip.org. Is there scientific evidence for intelligent design? Are scientists being silenced for advocating it? Those questions and more are explored in the provocative documentary movie Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, starring actor and writer Ben Stein.
91% of Americans believe that we were created by God, yet that belief has been completely shut out of any scientific discussion of the origins of life in schools. But new science is showing astounding evidence of a designer, and that science needs to be seen and heard.
Expelled exposes the modern-day witch hunt in which scientists and teachers are persecuted for questioning the theory of evolution. Stein confronts the world's leading atheists and Darwinists and uncovers their hidden agenda to suppress the new science that points to evidence of a creator. Expelled. Order Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, featuring Ben Stein on DVD from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The number of patients seeking plastic surgery has skyrocketed in the past decade. In his article titled Self-Esteem from a Scalpel, The Ethics of Plastic Surgery, Richard J. Poupard explains how we can discern when it is appropriate to seek the aid of plastic surgery. The new atheists call God's commands to kill the Canaanites genocide. Yet a closer look at the horror of the Canaanites' sinfulness reveals that God's reason for commanding their death was not genocide, but capital punishment, as described by Clay Jones. Other articles include Should Christians Be Environmentalist? The Negative Effects of Margaret Sanger, Television as the New Literature, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Here at the Christian Research Institute, we're celebrating our 50th year of ministry. Because of God's provision through His people, we have proclaimed it our year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25:10 says, And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you. Although we're living in financially difficult times, God has been faithful for 50 years. And we continue to place our trust in Him, realizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. If you have been blessed by the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, will you please consider a special year-end gift so that we can not only meet our budget by December 31st, but also expand our outreach in the coming year? To send your gift today, just call 888-7000-CRI or log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Andrew, listening in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Andrew.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I had a question for you. I recently had a neighbor drop off a gift bag to me, and it was, just some some cookies or whatnot, but it had some candy cane. But at the bottom of it, there was the Mormon Bible, I guess you would call it. And mm-hmm. I was just trying to figure out how to go about, you know, I don't know, giving it back to him or what I should do with it without being disrespectful or, you know, turning anybody off, you know.
Yeah, I think the point here is you can use this as a springboard or an opportunity to share the grace and truth and love that Jesus Christ has poured into your heart with someone that does not as yet know the Jesus of the Bible, because the Jesus of Mormonism is not the Jesus of the Bible. Nor is the Book of Mormon credible. Now, I think you want to start with those main and plain things, and the most main and plain thing that you can discuss with a Mormon is who do you say that Jesus Christ is? And you can go to other very significant essential Christian doctrines from there, including what is your authority? Because the Mormon will tell you that the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to their religion, where we would say, no, the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, and we test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. So the issue of the deity of Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, what your authority is, very foundational. Thus, you can use the Book of Mormon as a springboard or an opportunity to broach those very issues. Now, again, you have to recognize in any discussion, you can't force feed someone. If someone is willing to listen, then you want to be prepared to communicate. If they're not willing to listen, you want to continue to testify to them by the testimony of your love and the testimony of your love added to the testimony of your life. It will give you at some point an opportunity perhaps to testify with your lips as well.
Okay, that sounds good.
That's right, yes. Is this somebody that you have a relationship with?
Not really. I mean, he's a real close neighbor, and I would say hi to him, you know. But I moved over here probably like a few years ago, and I did state the fact that I was, you know, born again Christian, to go to a Baptist church or whatnot.
Right.
And, you know, nothing really came up, but I would say hi. If I had a question about something, you know, I'd ask him, but nothing more farther than that until a while ago.
Right, and have you done any reading about what Mormons believe, especially things written by Christians that would also give the biblical answers?
I did. I went to like a few websites, the Christian Arsenal. I kind of, you know, Googled what different preachers or pastors would say about Mormonism, and just looking at it, I could just top the bat that it was so different, but it's like trying to make it seem so the same, but it's like, you know.
Right. It's so radically different, but they, they try to present themselves as being Christians, and so
right.
They speak with our terminology, and they, you know, the thing to be prepared for is if he gave you the Book of Mormon, you know, and you give it back to him or something, he's going to ask you, have you prayed about it? And that sounds like the spiritual thing to do. Like, how do you say, well, no, I didn't pray about that. You know, but the reality is you say, that you have studied what it teaches and compared it with the Bible. And it would be an offense to God to pray about something that is already clearly contrary to his word, as if his word hasn't already made his will known, you know, and so that's a key point, is that that you have got, you base your faith on the Bible, not on subjective experiences. They feel that when they pray about this, they get this burning in the bosom. They get a warm feeling that tells them this is really true. And so they hold on to that conviction even when they're confronted with evidence that what the teaching is not biblical, or that even that its claims about what happened in the New World didn't happen, DNA evidence, archaeological evidence, nothing changes their mind. And it's all because they're basing their faith on a feeling rather than on fact. Biblically, we've got both facts and feelings, but the facts come first, you know, and the facts are supported. We don't have to reinterpret history to be believers. We are believing because of history, because God has acted in history. And then as a result of that, we too have a burning in the bosom, but it's
right.
Coming. It's coming from the same spirit that inspired the scripture.
Right. Yeah, because it's a wake-up call to me, because I kind of didn't know what to do. It was just so, you know, a wake-up call to me that I don't know how to defend what I believe in. As much as I try to read and understand my own Bible, it's just like a wake-up call to me. So.
Well, brother, you're not the first person to get that wake-up call, and it's a good thing. God can use this as a new area of outreach in your life.
Right, okay.
Hey, I appreciate your call.
Thank you very much.
God bless you. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Douglas. He's listening on KSIV, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Douglas.
Hi, how are you, Hank? God bless you and your partner there for answering your call. For that Jesus gave you, God, Yahweh, hosting this show. I listen to it pretty much every day.
Oh, thank you.
My question is, what I've done is been in the Word, and I've run across a few scriptures in Matthew and in Mark about anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me. And I also kind of ran across the Arthur Blessed movie, you know, he carried his cross like around the world. So what I've done is constructed a cross, and I've taken that in downtown St. Louis, and I've been handing out gospel tracts and working with the homeless. And I had a gentleman approach me and kind of, you know, get on me about being down there with my cross and telling me about how Jesus died on it. And I was explaining to him that this is just to remind you of the sacrifice that God had made for us in our sins. And I was just wanting to get your take on that.
Yeah, I think what we have to understand is that the cross is emblematic of total commitment to Jesus Christ, even unto death, which is to say, when we take up our cross and daily follow him, we're recognizing that the gospel is free, but it will cost us our lives. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And therefore, we are saying, in essence, I am now totally committed to Jesus Christ. In fact, baptism is emblematic of the same thing. It means that you've been buried to your old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power, and that the one that comes up out of the water is a new creation. And as a new creation, you are identifying visibly with the body of Christ. In the early Christian church, which was forged in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, when you were supposed to say, Caesar is Lord, you are now saying, no, Jesus Christ is Lord, and I am identifying with the body of Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, as well as in his ascension. And therefore, I'm totally committed to the kingdom of Christ. And so you're making a visible stand. So to have your own cross and use that as a springboard or an opportunity to communicate that this is what you have done, that you have given your life to the cause of Christ, may be instructive and helpful so that you can communicate the gospel with power and passion and not communicate simply easy believism, turn on to Jesus Christ and you'll have a better life, but saying when you turn on to Jesus Christ, you are giving your whole life and saying, I am now going to live the crucified life. I no longer live, but it is Christ that lives in me.
Yes, you know, I think this is one of those areas where you really need to act on your convictions. You know, if you have prayed about this and you have felt that the Holy Spirit has nudged you to do this, and then you've been able to test that conviction by how it is being received and whether God is being glorified and you're having opportunities to present the gospel, well, then, you know, I would say more power to you, you know, but it's if I were doing that, I would certainly be evaluating the responses I was getting from people and whether I really believed that God was being glorified by it and that the message was coming across that I wanted to come across.
I definitely prayed about it, you know, before I even did it. And then I'll tell you that the response has been overwhelming, basically. And I've cried with fellows. I've brought some fellows to the Lord.
Wow.
And, you know, it's been remarkable. But I did have that one kind of, I guess you could say, thorn, you know, come at me. And so I just wanted to make sure, you know, I just don't want to be out there, you know, you use words like flagellant and all this kind of stuff. And I just wanted to make sure what I was doing, you know, I wasn't messing up by doing that. I did pray on it. I felt the Holy Spirit pulling me that way. Alexa, it's been 2 months now I've been going down there. So I've been passing out the gospel tracts and really have been received and spreading the gospel and sharing, you know, Jesus with many, many folks.
Well, good for you. And may God give you much fruit as a result of your commitment.
And then I was just wondering one last thing, if maybe could I hold on so I could give a $100 donation to pick up that Christianity in Crisis?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I definitely want to help you, you know, continue your ministry, because, like I said, I listen to the show every day. I ask my friends who have questions to make sure that they listen. I tell them what time that you're on, and I just want to give my financial support, my love offering to you guys, because I really do appreciate your show.
Thank you so much. God bless you, my friend. Hang on. We will get the book out to you, and I will personalize it.
I appreciate that.
You got it. And I do want to mention that this is something that we have available for everyone listening in, the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, personalized for your gift of $100 or more. You can ask for any other book if you want me to do another book for you, personalized for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Also, do remember the book that I have been talking about all month, because it deals particularly and directly with the season in which we find ourselves. It's called The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Again, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift to our ministry. This will give you a great opportunity to begin a tradition that can continue to the time that you go home to be with your Lord and meet the Christ of Christmas personally. That's one of the things that we as Christians hold to. We're not platonic, but we're very physical. We believe in the physical resurrection of the universe. Paradise lost will become paradise restored. We also believe that our bodies will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will live the resurrected life with the resurrected Savior forever and ever, as we learn and grow and develop, but without mistakes and errors, in the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. A lot of you hanging on. We're going to stay right here for the next hour, continue answering your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, be patient. We will get to you. If you're calling in, questions on any subject that you have a question on, we'll try to answer your question right here for the next hour. Here's the number to dial right now. For the next hour, you can dial 888-ASK-HANK. Again, that number, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Dial that number now. We will answer your call for the next hour right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And do continue to pray for this ministry and support it as you can, so that together we can touch people, not just for time, but for eternity. So long for now.
What is it about wills and trusts that makes us uncomfortable? Even we as believers find that about 70% of us do not have a current will. But of course, 100% of us are going to be enjoying eternity with the Lord. I've heard it said that a charitable estate plan may be the single greatest act of stewardship in our entire life. It's both a privilege and a responsibility to be taken seriously. The Christian Research Institute is delighted to provide an estate plan organizer on our website that makes this process both informative and easy. Once you've filled out the organizer, you can have it reviewed for any suggestions or additional assistance, and you can receive a referral to a Christian attorney in your state that can help you put the documents in place at a reduced rate. To have our friends at PhilanthroCorp contact you to see if a gift annuity is right for you, go to our website at www.equip.org and click on the Donate Now button, and then click on Planned Giving. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts, so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI, or just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options.